ahead.
It's pretty clear that it's political harassment. I mean, that's what they say here in San Francisco. Dennis Martell, who was just demoted recently to, I guess, a commander or something like that, or captain, rather. He got on TV, and this is probably why he was demoted, and said that, the issue isn't that they're serving free food, it's that they're trying to make an anarchist statement, and we're not going to allow it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is,
Why is the Lord High Commissioner of Ideology, or why shouldn't he say that?
You're not allowed to really be saying that because you are allegedly protected by the First Amendment of the United States.
No. The First Amendment has been overruled by the latest counterterrorism bill, haven't you?
It certainly has. And I don't know, there's an interesting thing to be concerned about. One thing is we're getting two military helicopters here in San Francisco that the police get to use and fly around. They say they're only going to do 10 hours a day for helicopters.
Interesting. We have helicopters coming to Santa Cruz, too. The drug program has, they've got a $250,000 grant for marijuana eradication. Santa Cruz County, of course, is the biggest in the state around this issue. And we have, the grant has been up from, I think it's $13,000 or $18,000 to $250,000 this year.
Well, yeah, see, it's not, yeah, these liberals like Clinton are fantastic, aren't they?
Liberals like Fred Keeley here in Santa Cruz.
Right, or like Willie Brown here. So we've got that going, and there's a number of different incredible programs that are going to be coming up in the future here, and of which this helicopter thing is only one of them. But also, the day after the counterterrorism bill passed, there was a conference sponsored by the Anti-Defamation League, ADL, held at the Mayflower Hotel. This is on April 20th in Washington, D.C.
Hitler's birthday, by the way.
Oh, who?
Adolf Hitler's birthday.
Oh, Mr. Hitler's birthday. Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic role model for U.S. politicians.
Mm-hmm.
And then anyway, he...
successful politician.
...was a pretty good role model for him.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, if you care to read mine,
roll out the Fuhrer. How's that going?
Well, anyway, Janet Reno's assistant was the keynote speaker at the Domestic Terrorism Conference sponsored by the ADL at the Mayflower Hotel on the 20th.
Mm-hmm.
And
is this before or after the Israelis bombed the hell out of Lebanon, was it?
Before.
Mm-hmm.
And, because, of course, around that same time, they did a missile into an ambulance that killed three young girls and two women.
It was an error, I'm sure.
Yeah. And anyway, what was stated clearly in this is that they were very disappointed that the counterterrorism bill was weak in the domestic area, and they would go forward this year and get passed in the next Congress and the next Senate the additional provisions that they had wanted, which one of them was the list of people who will be declared terrorists. And other one was that they were very disappointed in, but that they were very hopeful for, would be to have the ability to wiretap without warrants and to use that evidence in court, and that's something that they were...
Well, they should talk to the San Francisco Police Department. Apparently, you were able to receive that kind of honor of a wiretap without a warrant, right?
One second, I'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, is the tape on?
Tape is on, and okay. And I'm wondering, perhaps you can give us upcoming events or anything that we may have missed in terms of breaking news.
Okay, well, just the final thing about this counterterrorism, the local angle of the domestic terrorism conference, is that the Anti-Defamation League was involved in spying on Food Not Bombs in San Francisco with a man named Roy Bullock was given actually hundreds of thousands of dollars for his spying efforts here by the ADL against all left groups, but that court case is still pending. And also his co-worker was Tom Girard, who was also a San Francisco police officer who had been before this in the CIA and had photos taken of him torturing El Salvadorians in El Salvador in 81 and 82. He now is...
Those were the bad old days.
Yeah, he's working for the CIA now in the Philippines, executing people there with C-Court and Singlob, actually.
No.
Oliver North. theme.
Sounds like a singing team there.
So yeah, kind of fun. Upcoming events, the big one is on Thursday at 2 o'clock at 850 Bryant Street, and that is to defend the rights of Robert Norris Kahn from going to jail for 60 days. And his hearing will be at 3 o'clock in Judge Barkley's court.
That's going to be the high point of the social season, I think.
I recommend... please bring clothespins for your nose.
And bring bagels and bathrobes. That's the other thing you got to bring along.
Right. And then after this Saturday is, on the 11th of May, is a protest against attacks on immigrants. And as people are probably not aware, but as what's actually happening is there's a large mobile, the Zapatistas are now, have suspended their negotiations and are about to attack or defend, actually, Chiapas and try to drive the military out of Chiapas because of the jailing and imprisoning of one of their members, which was... not allowed according to the negotiated agreement so far. So the Mexican government, probably under orders of the U.S. government, but maybe not, maybe on their own stupidity, is violated their own accord. The other thing...
Now, where is this immigration?
That protest is going to be...
Rally?
It starts at 12 noon at Cesar Chavez and Mission Street, and we'll be marching through the Mission... ultimately with a rally at 16th and Mission at 1:30. And that's a really important rally for people to cut,
that's
really
worth Saturday the 18th?
The 11th.
The 11th.
Yeah, this Saturday.
Right.
And then, so the Thursday the 16th is your hearing, 2 o'clock protest on the steps of 850 Bryant Street, that's between 6th and 7th Street and in San Francisco. And then there's a forum against police repression that's happening at the end of the last day of May, Friday the 31st, at 6 o'clock. You will be having videotape of the repression since Brown has been in office. And
that will be where?
I certainly encourage people to show to that. That's at 777 Valencia Street, New College.
All right. Well, listen, Keith, we'll get back to you for another update.
Okay.
Thanks again,
bye.
Keith McHenry. So, you are listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. This is Bathrop Spears Broadsides, and today is Friday, May 10th. Our next show will hopefully be a live call-in show on the 13th at 10 in the morning. If you want to be on the air, just give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833. While I'm in jail, if that happens next Thursday, May 16th, you'll be able to still hear the show. Simply leave your messages and news information and updates on the same number, 423-HUFF, and Becker Backer Becky Johnson will be covering and hosting for me during my absence. I'm even hoping to phone in some interviews from jail, kind of giving you the inside story, the from inside the intestines of the beast, or is it the anus? I'm not sure. It's where they put some of us when we get too rowdy, I guess, or serve too much food or whatever we're doing. Also coming up on Saturday, May 11th, is the arrival of the Santa Barbara activists, We Hope. These are activists from Santa Barbara, Beaming Bob Hansen and Cobblestone Colin Atherton, who have in the past led homeless marches of extreme length. They led one from a nine and a half month long walk from Santa Barbara, California to Washington, D.C., and they've also been responsible for helping to successfully fight sleeping ban laws in Santa Barbara. We're using that case to bring to Celia Scott and other city council members who are fearful that suspending our laws would result in a so-called magnet effect, the experience of Santa Barbara where no such effect happened. Anyway, these two Santa Barbara activists are coming to town on Saturday, they've said, although we're not quite sure. They're a changeable lot, these homeless activists. And you can get in touch with them by contacting the City Hall Sleep Protest, which still goes on, by the way. Other news around that sleep protest is, at least as of, there have been no arrests, I believe, for the last two nights, although who knows, I haven't heard today's report. Last, on Thursday, Wednesday night, there were no arrests, Wednesday night and Thursday morning, and before that there were, I believe, four tickets given out. And there have been occasional tickets, but no blanket seizures, and we can thank City Council members Celia Scott and Catherine Byers, as well as Dan Hopkins and Sean Alimi and
Pat Ring and all the other demonstrators down there at City Hall for that, for bringing that issue repeatedly to public attention. There is still a law, of course, against covering up with blankets. We haven't heard any response on changing that law. But the vigil continues. It's in its 72nd day, and the way to find out what day you're on is just add 62 to the date here in May, so today's the 10th, so it's the 72nd day since it began on March 1st. Sean Alimi, in jail since April 29th, was ordered released on his own recognizance. I haven't heard from Sean since he was released. He did call me from jail the day before he was released and gave me an update, but hopefully he'll be able to give a much longer update himself now that I presume he is at liberty. There were some really interesting things that happened around the courtroom on Thursday when Sean went before Judge Kelly for his hearings. Judge Tom Kelly, whom I call Kangaroo Kelly, both fondly and critically. Fondly because I've known him for a decade. I have been tried before him a number of times. I know him personally. I like him as a human being. I dislike him as a judge. Of course, I dislike virtually all the judges here because of what they do and the way they ignore homeless rights. Kelly's court will be receiving almost all these cases. They're going to be coming into court on the 31st. There's going to be what's called a demur argued, which means a challenge to the constitutionality of Santa Cruz City sleeping ban by the Public Defender's Office. Unfortunately, or perhaps inevitably, the Public Defender's Office is up to its old tricks of not dealing with the issue. Public Defender J.J. Hamlin, who was handling this case, is no longer on it. He's switched it over to Ed Chun. Chun gets a bad rap from activist Robert Flory, who said he didn't do too well in Dave Jacobs' cases. Dave is a longtime protester who is actually currently a fugitive from justice, if you want to call it that, because of old sleeping ban tickets. The Public Defender's Office is notorious, and Chun lived up to that reputation on Thursday, yesterday, by screwing up in Sean Alimi's case and postponing the speedy jury trial that Sean wanted on the case that has held him in jail since April 29th. It's a bogus charge based on harassment by Deputy Thurber in the basement of the county building when Sean Alimi was trying to get his tickets resolved at the municipal court, I should say the traffic court window, actually trying to get disqualifications for Mulligan, the DA referee. The actions that Sean was seeking were reasonable. The clerks were acting unreasonably. Sean has a Persian accent, and he's kind of a forward guy. He's a friendly fellow, as anyone who has talked to him knows, and he had a legitimate concern to get a series of tickets dealt with. He had asked that he be allowed to return to the line in the same place he was in before, because they'd asked him to leave the line because they had so many tickets, and they wanted to deal with other people first. They wouldn't do this. He objected, and they called in the federales, in this case, Bailiff Thurber. Thurber has a notorious history. He arrested me on three false charges back in 1993. I just talked to Sergeant Ross of the Santa Cruz County Sheriff's Department about the complaint I filed on Bailiff Thurber way back then. They have got no record of any disposition of that complaint. Perhaps it wasn't fully received. Perhaps they never did anything about it. We're not sure. In any case, Sean was jailed for days and days and days on an alleged failure to appear, which he claimed did not happen. He claimed it was a computer screw-up, and Sean has been pretty faithful about getting to his court appearances. That's my understanding. All the demonstrators have down there. They're all just spending much of their time running around the courts. You see Dan Hopkins looking positively tied up in knots and red-faced, so he runs around from one court appearance to the other and tries to help people with their court appearances. That's Dragon Sard Dan, who's doing his work at the vigil to try to change that sleeping ordinance. So Chun, our public defender, who's actually maybe covering a lot of these other cases unless he's disqualified, allowed Sean, you are guaranteed a jury trial within 30 days if you're in custody, or 45 days on a misdemeanor for which Sean was being held on a $1,060 bail. You should have taken the jury trial, which was due to come on May 20th, because when you take the jury trial, usually what they do is they drop the charges. And in this case, they would have had to do that. That's my opinion. This incident in the hallway in the basement was nothing more or less than another abuse of power by Thurber. And some sort of highfalutin behavior by the clerks there, which was inappropriate on their part. Certainly not worth a misdemeanor trial or arresting people or holding them for days and days and days in jail. Anyway, Chun let this whole thing go, and so now there can't be a jury trial for another 45 days, which is nice for the public defender's office because they have lots of work, lots of plea bargains to arrange with all the other defendants, and they can go ahead and do that. But it isn't so good for Sean, who now faces this misdemeanor somewhere down the road and can be held over his head. So to deal with this kind of situation, we are going to be holding a kind of meeting on Saturday at 3:30, that's tomorrow, at City Hall to discuss legal strategies around these tickets, the sleeping ban, and subsequent tickets kind of coming from those tickets. Be sure to show up if you have gotten a ticket, or if you're interested in contributing to this. I'm going to be there for the benefit of my experience. Red Top Robert Flory will be there. Hopefully some folks from Santa Barbara will be sitting in. We're trying to get Attorney Kate Wells. We'll see what we can do with that. I am now pressed for time. Got to get this tape to the studio. There are lots of things that should be on this tape that aren't, and what I'm hoping to do is turn in another tape later today to be run perhaps tomorrow at some point and repeated. So you'll get an extra edition of Bathrobe Spears Broadsides over the weekend. In any case, if you have something you want put on the air, or if you want to be a guest, give me a call at 423-4833. And if you're out of the area, that's 408 is the area code. And if you're in the area, it's just 423-HUFF, 423-4833. Normal airing time for this show, normally a live show, is Mondays and Fridays at 10 o'clock. You're listening to 96.3 FM, Free Radio Santa Cruz. I want to thank you for being with me. I hope you will join me again. You're going to have to kind of keep listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz to hear this over-the-weekend tape that I'm hoping to do as a follow-up to this show. But then again, if you want, you can always tune in 10 o'clock to the morning show. Upcoming will be interviews with Scott Immler of the Cannabis Club, a whole bunch of stuff from Stanford, the Stanford Homelessness Action Coalition. More about the Citizens Committee for the Homeless's latest groundbreaking or windbreaking activities out at the so-called Community House Project. Interviews are plenty downtown. An upcoming, the disposition of the Celia Scott, Catherine Byers, 11 o'clock Monday morning meetings with the protesters, which are happening now regularly. City Council at its afternoon session and evening session next Tuesday. And of course, our useless police review board, which is meeting every Monday. It meets on Monday at 5 o'clock once a month, and that's this next Monday, and that's Monday, May 13th, and I encourage you to come to that. Be aware also that there's going to be a May 22nd meeting at Loudoun Nelson Center, 7:30 to 10, skits and all kinds of fun stuff around the sleeping ban run by the Revolutionary Coalition and the Family Common Threads Coalition, I guess that's what it's called, plus Huff, if Huff isn't in jail. And I'll just go huffing and puffing now and hope that I can also find you outside our City Hall at noon on Thursday, May 16th, and we'll be doing a caravan up to San Francisco, and you can join me in that. If you want to help with that, give me a call at 423-HUFF. Thanks again. Talk to you later. Stay out of jail, but if you get in jail, take a lot of notes.